Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Today is December 15th, 2010. And tonight we're going to have a replay of Karen Lynn Duffy's episode from August 18th, 2010. So we're going to go ahead and click that on now.
Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is August 18th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. Our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us each Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have our guest, Mrs. Karen Lynn Duffy. She's going to share her story about how her son was murdered and how her journaling led to writing a book called Life Interrupted, The Aftermath of My Son's Murder. And I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties getting my callers on, but if you give me just a couple minutes, we'll get you going. And I will welcome Boyd to the show.
Yes, I would like to say thanks to all our fans that log on to listen to our radio show every Wednesday, and thank all our fans who follow our movement and participate in our movement to help these youths and adults learn that the streets will never love them back. And we have, like she said, Ms. Duffy on the radio show tonight to share her story with everyone and to share her book as well. And hopefully through her story tonight, it will start some healing with someone who has lost a child or a loved one to this sort of violence. So we're going to go ahead and let Ms. Duffy formally introduce herself.
She's not on yet. I'm still having some technical difficulties here. So if you want to maybe do a few announcements while I'm getting this going.
Yeah, we just want to say we're waiting on the line to get right before we can have Ms. Duffy on. And we just want everyone to know we have a book signing coming up on the 28th of August at Ben Cover Books in Phoenix, Arizona. I'll also be speaking at Apollo High School in Phoenix, Arizona with five classes there. And I have another book signing coming up September 18th at Brooklyn Bookstore in Mesa, Arizona. And we're going to just wait for a few minutes to have Ms. Duffy on so she can get started with her story.
Ms. Duffy, can you say something? Let me see if you're here. I know you're here, but we just can't hear you yet. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We do have several callers on. How about if we play a song while I try to get this going.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with The Streets Don't Love You Back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug slash drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that. Everybody's around here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life and stop destroying the community and stop destroying yourself, baby. So when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my tune done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our community, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that. But once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, so join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on. Here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway Ricky Ross. Jeff Step Down, May 4th, we sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing, you feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say fuck the fence. Life is test, I gotta go and get a bit. Get caught up in moving shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home when pressure's on. We all alone when we born, we all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together, we can make it if we try. Can probably fake it if we cry, but I hate it when you whine. And if all the truth is up, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough, but if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus, I'm overstuffed with propaganda. They should slander and lies, try to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise. Cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body. You see it in my eyes, I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead. Jump out of bed, paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move. Freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seeds. Decide what's the truth, separate it from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, don't you never stray away. Let the past be the past and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
let
on,
let us all be checking back in with you. Like I said, it's that trap of knowledge. Let you young brothers and sisters understand that, hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game, that's all washed up. Let's get our life together, let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LD. Let's do it. 100. Out.
Yes, and welcome right back to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And like we said, we have our guest tonight, Miss Duffy. Is she on there yet, Miss Duffy?
Can
oh, that's my
hi.
Favorite
We're
lady.
Back.
Yes, ma'am. We back in effect with Miss Duffy.
Hi.
And we very sorry about the technical difficulty, Miss Duffy. And formally, without your hesitation, we would like you to formally introduce yourself and let's get it started.
Absolutely. Good evening, everyone. My name is Karen Lynn Duffy, and I am the author of Life Interrupted in the Aftermath of My Son's Murder. But you do not have to call me Ms. Duffy. You can please certainly call me Karen.
All right, Ms. Karen. You know that you know that's just that raising up. You know, it's, you
absolutely.
Know, Mom's always said you definitely respect the elder, and you definitely respect the ladies, period. So, you know, that's
absolutely.
Always been groomed in me. So without further ado, Ms. Karen, we want to ask you what happened in your situation with your loss. And first of all, we would like to take a moment of silence here at the show tonight for Ms. Karen before she gets started. All right, Ms. Karen, we're right at it. We would just like to ask you, what happened with life being interrupted for you and your family, and you can start from anywhere you choose to start.
Okay. I'll go ahead and start June 11, 2007. That is the night that Courtney was murdered, just a little over 3 years ago now. The night before, we have had a big birthday party for my daughter. She turned 20 years old, and we had all left. And Courtney stayed behind at my mom's house. And my mom went out and ran some errands. She came back kind of late. And as she describes the story to me, is that when she arrived back to her home, Courtney was relaxing in the family room, watching TV a little bit perhaps. And she had asked them to help her clean up after Jasmine, who's my daughter, clean up after her 20th birthday party. And by taking some lawn chairs to the back and this kind of thing. And she said that he definitely started helping her out with that. His phone rang. She had gone down to the basement, and he was at the top of the stairs, and she definitely heard his telephone ring. He answered. She overheard him say, he'd be right there. And Courtney rode off to his death. And at about 12:47 a.m., he was ambushed at a gas station on the borderline of Detroit and River Rouge, Michigan. He was able to drive away from the crime scene, and he pulled across the street to a utility pole, which is pretty much where his life expired.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Was I interrupting something?
Oh, go right ahead. No, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. It definitely is a struggle. I think what inspired me to, well, I know what inspired me to write the book in the first place. I didn't set out to write a book. I don't have a literary background. But I had had a dream about a month after Courtney was born, after he was killed. And I had a very intense dream about him. And I never wanted to forget it. I remember that. And I decided to type it all down. And as I typed it all out, that seemed like something had happened where it seemed I knew for sure that that wouldn't be my last time putting words on paper, and that started my journaling process. And as many of us know, that my book, Life Interrupted, is greatly based on about 8 months of journal entries. So it's all very detailed, very graphic, very raw coverage of that time span with transitional thoughts as well. And I think that it's a very interesting read. I included lots of pictures. The one thing that I hear constantly that I didn't know that I was doing as I put the book together was that feedback that I get is that folks tell me often enough that they feel like they know Courtney. I don't know that I necessarily tried in any particular fashion to do anything in the book other than just to tell my story. And my greatest priority is to bring comfort and relief to other parents and families who find themselves in the unfortunate position of having to have lost a young person to violence.
Yes, ma'am. So I just wanted to ask you Ms. Karen, when the message first came to you about the loss of your child, you know, could you describe to the people what impact that had on you right then?
Yes. Amazingly, I was very calm. it actually was a phone call from my sister Kim. She lived very near to the crime scene, which is actually where a lot of my family still reside. And folks were going over, beating on her door, as she said, and saying that something had happened to Courtney and that he had been taken away in an ambulance. And ironically enough, I didn't, and all of this is, and what I'm saying tonight and so far that I've already said is well documented in my book, just so the listeners know. But what I usually do anytime I would hear anything about Courtney is that I always would call him first. And he'd always answer or call back a couple minutes later and say, hey, Mom, okay, or that wasn't me. A couple of times, you know, over his life, he had certainly been pulled over by Detroit police. And we would get word that perhaps he was, as I guess as they say, stretched out on Schaefer or something like that, and I'd always call him first. But this particular night, when I got the phone call from my sister Kim, I didn't call Courtney first. I called my daughter, who was still out celebrating her birthday. And it occurred to me a few days later that I knew why I didn't call Courtney. I knew there was no need to call him because 3 nights before his murder, I had had a dream about him, and it was very unsettling. And I had this dream, again, this is all documented in my book, but I had this dream about him and that he and another young guy were standing in the field, and they had their backs turned to me, and they both lifted a gun and shot each other in the head.
Wow.
And that bothered me so much. I had had it was the strangest weekend, that whole weekend, and I talk about it a lot more in the book, how I had to talk to my therapist about it because I never told Courtney about the dream, and of course my therapist made me realize that I had started to believe that had I told him about the dream that I would have been able to save him, as if he would have taken heed to it, you know, there was nothing that I could have done to prevent what happened.
Right. So, was your son out there in the street life, or was he just a innocent bystander that got ambushed in the city, or was he out there trying to live that street life?
Yes, he was definitely living the street life. He and you said it correctly. He was ambushed. Certainly not trying to glorify anything about Courtney's life, but I don't know that Courtney, he apparently had one enemy. We know that, the murderer. But Courtney was a different kind of young man, really, really kind of quiet and reserved. What I do like to reflect on a lot is the fact that he and I were very close and we talked a lot. And he had indicated not only to me but also to my daughter. He's very close with my daughter, Jasmine, and he wanted out. Unfortunately for a lot of these young men, they don't know how, and the allure of fast money keeps them trapped because that's a lot of what I would hear from Courtney a lot. You know, well, I'd be like, well, Courtney, look here. Look, let's look at this program, and let's look at this. And I kind of just always felt in my heart that from what he had been involved in and the getting the fast money that he was going to have to go into some kind of business for himself. So I was always researching things for him and where he could venture off into something on his own where he'd be his own boss, because just from his personality and what he had involved himself in, I don't know that he would have been able to be disciplined enough to just be, you know, corporate, so to speak. So,
right. So
I often tried to help him. He was a little bit frustrated about life. I knew that he was searching for some answers. And definitely one thing that does help me for sure is that about 2 weeks before he was killed, he was here at my house. And I had heated him up something to eat, and he's sitting here in the kitchen, and we were just talking for a minute, and just out of the blue, he says, hey, Mama, he says, you know, I've been studying the Bible and reading and praying a lot. Do you believe me? And I'm like, yeah, I believe you. Of course I believe you had a spiritual upbringing. And the reason why that little story there became important to me or comforting to me sometimes when I wonder about death, because I certainly think about death under different terms now, unlike any other time in my life when I have lost someone. Even my grandmothers both passed away 6 months apart from each other back in 1998. But still,
right.
I don't think about their death in the same way that I do Courtney. I wonder all day long and half the night, where important.
Right. Because
all
that's
kinds
the,
of
your
things.
Child. Because that's
absolutely.
The child who you carry for 9 months. So no matter what, a mother's going to always feel that way when she carry her child for 9 months. That's a different passing than if your sister, your grandmama, or anybody, you know what I mean? That's something that came out the womb that you birthed into life, you know? And we just want to ask you another question as well, Ms. Karen. When you first heard about him being in the street life, how did you take that, and did you really try to encourage him to get up out of that game?
Absolutely. Always talking to him. Try to have a talk with his dad, who lives in another state. Tried to talk to him about things that I noticed about Courtney and that I didn't like, and I was trying to nip some things in the bud. Tried to talk to his dad to have him perhaps go out and live with his dad and see if, you know, that would definitely, you know, curtail this behavior. But his dad was not interested in taking that role up in his son's life. So...
And
so was his
how
dad
did that
involved
feel?
In his life anytime?
Yeah.
What was that again, Lucinda? Yeah.
Was his dad involved in his life growing up as a teenager?
No, he was not. No, he was not.
So how did that make
actually,
you feel, Karen?
Well, very hurt for Courtney and angry. And now that it's all said and done for Courtney, I think back on his life and the things that I did for him and how I tried to and how I know I made him happy and how I did my absolute best to try to fill in, to give him more and to say yes more, just simply because his dad was not around. I write a very inflammatory piece in my book about his dad. And let me say this. I didn't write a piece about his dad in the book to be vicious or to necessarily get back at him or to make him look bad.
You kept it real. You just kept it real.
I truly did. And I have to say this, that my entire book is written straight from my heart. I don't have a table of contents, not for any particular reason, but I needed to say that simply because I didn't brainstorm anything. I didn't think of anything. I literally sat at my desk, and that book, those words poured out of me, and I got it done.
Right.
And so something would inspire a thought. I maybe would type something from my journal, because remember, my book is my journal. So all I would do is I copied my journal over and just transition out and just, you know, it, whatever would inspire or encourage the thought, that's what I'd roll with. And I got on a very inflammatory piece about his dad, but, you know, what can I do? You know, the truth is the truth. And if he's uncomfortable with it, then my position is and my thought to that is that I don't know that he was too, I like to know how uncomfortable he was, you know, years back when he paid absolutely no attention to Courtney and didn't care.
Big dad. And we got callers in tonight for you, Ms. Karen. And we're going to take a caller with the last four digits, 4285. Is that it? Would you like to ask Ms. Karen anything tonight?
Hey, Mama.
Hi. That's my youngest son. Hey, John.
Oh.
How you doing? I'm proud of you.
Hey, what's up, good brother? How you feeling tonight?
How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm beautiful, man. You know, we're just happy to have your mom online to tell our story, to help someone that's going through the same pain and vicious heartbreaking that she's going through.
Mm-hmm.
So we're glad
you
called in tonight.
Can you tell us how this whole situation obviously makes you feel, I'm sure, you know, terrible, but what did you go through, and can you tell us a little bit about how you feel about it now?
It's kind of torturous to me. Like, I don't even, I don't know, I don't cry that much about it, but like, I think about him all day long, every day, seriously. I don't care what I'm doing, driving, walking, school, anything. I'm just thinking about him all the time, for the most part.
Yeah. That's kind of how it goes. That's kind of how it goes. You know, I think for probably all of us, it doesn't really matter what we're doing. Thoughts of Courtney creep in, and we genuinely have a good time doing everything. Everything that I do or that we do is not connected or linked to Courtney, but in some kind of way he gets linked back around in it. It doesn't matter. I can be I can be in the grocery store. I can be in a nightclub dancing, and I think about him all the time. It's just how it goes right now. I don't know if that gets any better or changes over time. It doesn't have to necessarily for me. You know, I'm okay
with
that.
I can't imagine that it would get any, you know, and you wouldn't want to stop thinking about him because, you know, he still is a part of you. You know,
absolutely.
You know, he's a part of your heart, a part of you, and you know, and you should remember him, you know, for the rest of your life. Don't ever forget anything, you know.
Well, absolutely. The book is a tribute to him, and I'm happy now that I did it. I didn't set out to do the book, not at all.
Right.
My aspiration was I wanted my own support group. That's where my head was, and I prayed and prayed and prayed and did everything I could. And I talk about this a lot in the book as well, and I kept trying to get this Hello Tomorrow Avon grant, and they had about three or four different time frames in which you could apply, and I never would hear anything back. And I believe that was just the Lord, well, clearly, at least for Ben or that time period, was saying, no, not right now. There is something else for you to do.
Exactly.
So sometimes it's not exactly what we want. It is about what the Lord wants, and he made sure that happened. Because I had no intentions on writing the book. Sure, I was keeping the journal, but I just thought the journal was just something for me. That was my 24/7 outlet. I still journal to this day.
Right.
You know?
And that's a beautiful thing. And we got another call on here for you, Ms. Karen, and it's the last four digits. Let the computer wind back up, you know, and we're going to get them last four digits, and that is 0924. You there, Carla? Last four digits, 0924.
I have a few of them on already, but I'm still having some technical difficulties. Try to go to 5546.
What about 5546? Are you there, Carla? All right. We're going to try
5106.
We're going to try 5106. Are you there, Carla?
No.
Yeah, we have technical difficulty.
I'm still having some problems, so hopefully. And maybe they just want to listen, too, so that's all right. We'll try it again in a little bit. I'm still working on this here.
Well, we're back in tune. We're going to ask you, Ms. Karen, where can people go pick that book up and give them the website or give them the store where they can go pick that book up in the city of Detroit and outside of Detroit?
Absolutely. The book is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and also through my publisher, which is CraftersPublishing.com. I am still working through some, I guess you could kind of say, a little bit of red tape to get it available through my publisher. It's just like a little detail that I'm working out with them to have it on the store shelf. But folks can go into the Barnes & Noble store and actually order in the store. And shipping probably would take, I would say at the max, maybe 4 days, depending on what day you ordered it. So it doesn't really take long for it to be shipped. And also, I've done this a few times already, where especially for people that are out of state, if they really want an autographed copy of the book from me, I can send you a PayPal invoice over the Internet, and I can order the book, autograph it, and then ship it off to you personally. So that's something else that can be done. I can definitely be reached through Facebook, which is just simply by my name, which is Karen Duffy. That's D like in dog, U, F again, I-E, Karen with a K. And that's a great way to reach me. Another good way to reach me is just strictly by my Yahoo email, which is my name again, which is...
All right. And with all that said and done, I want to ask your son why he's still on the line. Ms. Karen, what have you learned from this experience, young man, by your brother passing away and being in that street life? What have you learned as far as staying away from that type of energy?
Stay out the streets, try to stay in school, you know, make, you know, smart choices and stuff like that. Just try to stay focused on your books and stuff.
You know, no.
And John he was 12 years old when Courtney was killed. There are 10 years difference between them. And John, I believe he certainly looked up to his brother, and not that he thought he was Superman or anything, but I feel that he thought that his brother was untouchable. And I certainly did in a way, too. You know, like Courtney could take care of himself. He certainly had been doing that, you know, had been taking care of himself. And he really hadn't had any problems. Courtney had not. I believe that if he had had some more... I'm not saying that he didn't have an altercation with this person that that took his life, but I don't believe that Courtney mine really, I'm so sure, was on other things, and not that he, and I don't believe that he thought that this situation was going to escalate the way that it did.
Right, and a lot of young kids in their life feel that same way, you know?
Yeah.
And they understand that. Yeah. When you into that drug trade or even out there in the life gang banging or what have you, a lot of young cats nowadays don't look at the flip side of the game, you know what I mean? And they don't understand that there's no 401k or no retirement plan in that game, and they don't understand that at the end of the day, the government, the DEA, the Fed boys, the local boys don't care who you is, you know what I mean? When it's time for you to go in that cage, they're going to put you in that cage because they hold the key to every prison in America and outside America, you know. And the prison can be for rent or lease, you know what I mean? And if you rent in the penitentiary, you got an out date. But if you're leasing in the penitentiary, that means you got all day until you go out on Cherry Hill in the back in the graveyard, you know. So young brothers and sisters, listen to Ms. Karen and listen to the message tonight. Because the streets don't love you back, you know. And if you're any type of brother and sister that's trying to have something, you know, you'd rather be broke in your pocket in a free man or woman than be in a cage talking about what I once had. You feel me? That's a misunderstanding there, period.
Or even just, you know, in premature death. I certainly feel Courtney at, you know, just a month or so shy of his 23rd birthday. That is a premature death. He didn't get a chance to expand his horizons and explore things that he wanted to. Well, everything is totally gone. But, you know, on the other side of it, like you're saying, as far as prison goes, you know, a lot of times I believe that these guys are thinking that, hey, I can kill somebody that's a notch on my belt, and I killed this guy. But you just open up a whole other can of worms for yourself and for your family, which is why I always say, that murder is never just between two people, because it isn't.
No.
And that's for both sides of it. That's the offender side of the family, as well as the offender, as well as the victim side of the family. So I feel like Courtney's world dropped in my lap.
Yes,
you know,
and everybody else
was not
dropped.
Expecting. Oh, absolutely. It's rough. You know, my daughter was just married a few weeks ago.
Thank God for that, you know.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you. And, you know, I have to walk in with a single red rose to put in a chair to represent in honor of her brother. You know what I'm saying? We got to do special things. She's got to walk halfway down the aisle with her brother's picture in her bridal bouquet to honor her brother. You know what I'm saying? This kind of thing. Right. That's incredibly heartbreaking. And as a parent, let me also say this, that not only do I grieve for Courtney, but as parents, we carry the burden of all of our children. So I have to deal with the grief that John has. I have to take that on because I'm hurting for him. I have to take on the grief that Jasmine has because I'm hurting for her as well. So my grief is magnified, is more than just my grief alone.
For
I have
you.
To... deal
exactly.
with my other children as well, you know, through this process.
Right. It's a
and,
deal. It ain't no one grief.
No, it really is not. So there's always something to factor in. He's always the person that's missing, and that's just what our life is now. We can't take anything back. We can't change anything. So the promise that I made to Courtney when I look at him in the casket and I say, well, okay. Someone said to me, don't let his death be for nothing. And I was not exactly sure what that meant that day at the funeral home, but I walk over to his casket, and I touch his hand, and I kiss on him some more, and I say, Courtney, I'm not going to let it be in vain, and you have my promise on that, and I'm not really sure what that means at this time, but I would never... It's not good enough for me that he's just dead and that's just it. That's never going to work with me. And I think I've demonstrated right. that already, that it ain't good enough. And there's a whole lot more to come, and I'm just not sure what it is. But it's going right. to be something, there's something more to this story. So,
yeah, no
like
doubt.
I said, my,
God got it all for you.
Absolutely. You know, I prayed right before I called into the show. You know, I always want it to be that the Lord guides my steps and tell me what it is that he wants me to say and let it be his will and his message. It's not mine. You know,
yes,
I'm
indeed.
Just a servant. Please use me. You
Amen.
Know, because I've definitely have had some dark thoughts here, you know,
dark
times
day.
When I really went
yes.
through it and didn't think that I would, you know, live another day myself, where I let the devil toy around with my mind and I was
right.
having, you know, plans of, you know, suicide and this kind of thing and not caring about myself, totally disrespecting myself in thought and not caring about anyone
God
that I was
going
to leave behind. Praise
right.
the Lord.
God is
yeah.
great, though. You know, and we thank him for, you know, sparing you from going, you know what I mean, in another direction, you know, which you could have went in that direction, you know what I mean, but he pulled you back and said, hey, I got a job for you to do, you know, like you spoke, you know, we're not going to let your son's death be in vain, but we're going to use this as a testimony for you to go out and help other people, help other children to not have to deal with this type of pain that you're feeling, but we're going to wipe all that away with my grace, you know, so we definitely
yeah.
thank God for sparing you on that. And we're going to try to log some people on to ask you a few questions. We're going to go back to 0924.
Okay.
Right. You can try the same ones. I'm still having some trouble here. Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to be able to get on.
Yeah, well, everybody's listening to me, and we're just having a difficult
right. There's
with
callers
involving
online,
people.
We're going to try to get to you as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Sorry
so
about
we're
going to
take a commercial break. We're going to take
I can't
a commercial
even do
break,
that.
Ladies
I can't
and
gentlemen. I can't even do that. I really need trouble here.
We're having a strong technical difficulty tonight.
We
man.
Are.
I'm going to pass the mic over to you. I'm going to pass
we
the mic over
to you. We need to pray a little harder.
Yeah. I'm going to pass the mic
I wanted
over
to you to maybe talk to the young men or to the men out there about, I mean, you're obviously, or I would be angry, I think, not having their father there to be a part of their life because, you know, we know that with two parents, obviously, you know, that we can help our kids a little bit better. I mean, if both parents are doing the right things and working together, we can raise our kids to be better young adults and to have, I guess, more stability. What can you tell the young men out here about taking care of their families?
What I would like to encourage every man and woman to do that has become a parent is to fully participate in their child's life. I don't understand how someone makes a conscious decision not
to. Right.
I'm sorry. Someone's texting me at the
okay.
same time here.
Yeah.
I don't understand mm-hmm. how someone could have their seed on this planet and not care anything about their future and their current welfare. I don't get that.
Right.
I just would encourage them to be a parent, and you may not get along with the mother or the father, and that's okay because people don't always stay together, unfortunately. But the thing that remains always is this child that deserves support, that deserves attention, that needs and deserves love. And I just don't understand abandoning your child and pretending as if they don't exist. And just a little bit back on Courtney's story with his dad, is his dad has other children that he shows love to. That,
right.
you know, that's very heartbreaking. And that was sad for me to have to know that my son is heartbroken, he's feeling disappointed, And now that turns into is a lot of anger a lot of times for these young men when they grow up and they get a little bit older and they start to understand more about what's going on.
And a lot of them do turn to the streets to, you know, to have other men mentors, whether they're right or, you know, it's right or wrong, that's they do it because that's where they find support.
Absolutely. And I really, and the sad thing about it in Courtney's case is that his father is a police officer. So he makes his decision to protect and serve for complete strangers, but he could care less about his firstborn. Well, I just don't get that. And so, you know, me opening up the verbal can of, whoop, I don't know if I can curse on your station, I won't go there. But me opening up the verbal can, is internet radio, me, I'll just say it, me opening up the verbal can of whoop ass on him, well, then that's just what, I won't say that's what he had coming because I didn't plan to write that.
Right.
But, you know, his one of his ex-wives took the foolish position to challenge me in an Amazon interview about my book. And I've never met this woman. She met Courtney one time when he was about 10 years old. He went out to California where his dad lives, and he was out there for maybe 1 month. And this woman met him one time, and she decided to take an attack on me on Amazon and try to discredit me and say I'm looking for attention and I'm a liar and that this man is good and all like this. And that was the wrong thing to do,
right.
For one, because you don't know me nor my son's experience with this man. And if he's good, you know, like I said to her, if he's good to your son, then that's great. But I know what happened with me and my son's life. And, again, I didn't write the book to get back at him, to make him look bad. It just is what it is. And that's a part of Courtney's life story. And as I said earlier, I feel that the book is put together in such a way that you do get to know Courtney. And this is just part of his life and what happened to him. I put a couple of his funeral pictures in the book. That's just a part of his life story. It's at the end, but that is a part of his life story. And that just is what it is. You know, I didn't get to have, I know sometimes people break up and they have issues and they argue about who's not doing this and who didn't pay this money for the kid and all like that. And I never, his dad was staying hiding from us, so to speak. So I never had a chance to really have what you might want to say, get to have that discussion or even an argument with him about, and literally years, 5, 6, 7 years ago by, we wouldn't hear anything from him. So I never got a chance to say any of that to him. So me writing that section on him, which is inflammatory, yes, it is, but it is a truth, and it is the ugly truth, and I wish that it were. It should be an exaggeration, and it should be a lie, but it is not. But I never got a chance to confront him or to talk to him and have him answer for some things. And this is a way that I cleansed my soul.
Right. You know, I do. I think I might have be able to get somebody on the line. I'm going to try 4285. Caller, you are on the air, I believe. Hello?
Oh, yeah, that was our son. That was our son. They tried the next one.
Okay, that was. Okay, 0924. You are on the air.
0924, you're on the air. Would you like to ask Ms. Karen a question? Okay, 0924 might just want to listen in. We'll go to 5546.
Yeah, what's up? This is Shaka. Can you hear me?
Shaka?
Yeah. How you doing, bud, Shaka?
Hey, Shaka.
Man. Hey, how you doing, Karen? Just calling in, man, you know, let Karen know how much I appreciate her sharing her story and how important the story really is, you know, for a lot of young men and women in our community who, you know, are kind of caught in that cycle of violence that plagues multiple communities. And I think it's important for her to share her story, to be honest about her story, to be honest about how she feels in such a candid way. And I think it's excellent what y'all are doing with the show when it comes to getting that story out.
Hey, thanks very much, Shaka.
Thank you.
And we just want to say also, Brother Shaka was here last week, and we just wanted to thank him again for the work that he's doing right there in the city of Detroit with and his new book, Crack. and him and Ms. Karen will be getting together and promoting nonviolence together. And Shaka was a man who did 19 years in prison for his misunderstanding and making the wrong choice in life. So we just wanted to share that with the viewers that was not on last week. So if anybody would like to get with Ms. Karen or Mr. Shaka in the city of Detroit, you will be able to go to their Facebook page and get in touch with them and keep the movement going. So we just wanted to give you big ups on that, Shaka.
Yeah, no problem, no problem.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much, Shaka.
No problem. Okay. It was important for me to call in and support you. So, you know, I really,
you know,
felt what you were saying, and I really feel how important it is. So I definitely wanted to call in and listen to the show. And, you know, it also helps me at this point in my life, you know, to better understand some of the decisions I made in my past and the far-reaching impacts it's had. So appreciate it.
Yes.
Well, Shaka, we're going to leave you on, and we're going to leave you on. So if you want to make any comments, you know, with the rest of the show, you can do that. But we have several more callers, and we're going to try to get to them while my everything's working right.
So, we're going to go to 5106.
Yeah. Right.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the air. 5106.
Hey, hello.
Yes, sir, you're there.
Oh, okay. What's up, Skull?
Hey.
Yeah, it's Taylor. I'm listening to you. I'm out here in Tucson, man. You know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to call and let you know that, you know, you got a number of support from your family all over the place. And, you know, Courtney, that was like my brother. You know what I'm saying? I love him to death. You know, he was everything, you know, that missed him, you know what I'm saying? And all my brothers, you know. And I just want to say,
Taylor,
for the record, no problem. I just want to say, I'm just kind of a little caught up in the chest right now. But, you know, for the record, all young black males, you know, they tend to these streets because we got to survive. We got to figure out, you know, what we're going to do next, you know. I mean, so much pressure from society and life for us to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to provide. And, you know, and damn near, if the streets ain't there, you know what I'm saying, that's going to give us honest pay. And I'm not saying that's what we're doing, but, you know what I'm saying, to get the money the way we can, you know, to get our values right, then that's what we tend to, you know, go to. But, you know, Courtney, he was a great man. He did anything he could for his family, his grandmother, his uncle, his great-granddaddy, his cousins. You know, the list is long but distinguished. And, you know, he's a great example, you know, of what a true man is who takes care of his family. He wasn't no real thug like that where, you know what I'm saying, he got hatred and want to gang. No, this not that type of person. This person just wanted to provide and make a way for himself and his family, you know. And at the end of the day, I think that's what all these young guys need. You know, take it from somebody who tried to stay out the street. My brother's in the feds. You know, right after my cousin Courtney died, my brother just lost it. And I'm not saying that was because of it, but, you know, it gets real when you get to that certain age. You're like, well, what the fuck am I about to, excuse my language, but what am I about to do next? You know, what's going to happen next to us? You know what I'm saying? Where do I need to go? How do I need to get my life in order? And it's sad, but, you know, the streets is one of the main options that could really help us. You know, although it's not helping us, but at the same time, it's like, in some minds, it's like, that's, you know, that's how we're going to be able to make it out the hood. And I want to say that, you know, it should be programs out here developed to really touch the youth, you know, in a way that's totally opposite from the streets. You know, if we can have all these dropouts, it was a stat that just came on CNN earlier today, that all these black African-American, you know, young youth is just dropping out of school, not graduating. That's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just because, to take it from me, my father, he died, he was a pilot. He died in the Air Force in his plane crash, and I didn't have nobody but my cousins and my great-granddaddy, you know, just like Courtney, you know. And at the end of the day, it's like, I'm still in this same situation. We're like, what am I going to do next? You know, what do I need to do to get my life together? You know, I'm going to school, I done worked in the House of Representatives, I done worked for the governor, and I'm still on the play right now. You know, and I'm trying to figure out what I need. Do I need to join the army? Is that the only option for me, to join the armed forces? And I support my troops 110%. But is that the only option that's leading for the youth? Is that the only option that we have? We got to do something a lot better, because my cousin, like my cousin said, my cousin didn't die in vain. You know, he was a real man, a real boss. You know, don't get it twisted. Everything was 100. You know, and we need that. We need something more than just, you know, a minimum marriage job, 9 to 5, mm-hmm. you know, and either that or join the service. You know, it's got to be something else out here, man. The stats, the numbers don't lie. They don't lie. All these black African Americans is dropping out of school. You know, what do you think they got to do? What opportunities is there out here for them other than the streets? And, you know, like I said, man, I love my cousin to death, and he was a true man, you know. He did anything for his family. He always wanted to make sure everybody was straight, you know. That left an everlasting impact on my life and my brother's lives. You know, and I love you to death, Scott. I love you to death, John John. You know, I'm telling you, take it for that. Now, I didn't have a father. You know, I didn't have a father. My father, it wasn't like he left, you know, didn't want to be a part. My father died in a plane crash, you know.
Right.
And I'm still out here struggling, you know. I don't even want to resort to go swing with y'all. I already know what I could do, you know. But I want to keep going hard, keep trying to, you know, fulfill my goals and my ambitions. But it's hard out here, America. You know, y'all listening, it's hard out here. Take it for somebody who really is trying his hardest, you know. And I love Courtney to death, man. You know, and everything
you
you're doing, Taylor. God is gonna bless you. God is gonna bless you. And John, you know, I'm your other brother. If you need me, you know, talk to you every day. And you know, keep the show going and keep supporting my auntie. Get a book, you know, and make sure y'all read it, man, because it's real out here. You know, we gotta have a real awakening in America. You know,
my man, we definitely appreciate that, good brother. And if you get time, brother, you know, I would like for you to get our movement information from Miss Karen, and we definitely would like to keep in touch with you, you know, and give you support in any areas that you would need it in. And also, I would like, since you're right there in Detroit, I would like for Miss Karen to give you Shaka's information. You know, that's
absolutely
a young man who did 19 years, and he can definitely sit down with you, and you and him can definitely get something going, because it's about reaching out, you know what I mean, to our youth and ourselves, you know, each one teach one. So we would definitely like you to get in touch with Mr. Shaka as well, so, you know, and we thank you for coming on the air tonight as well.
For those of you who are listening and for those of you, you know, when you get a chance, log onto our website and join our social network. It's the streetsdontloveyouback.com. And just let me give you a little background about my husband, Rob. He grew up down in the east side, you know, ghetto of Detroit. And by the time he was 10 years old, he was already gangbanging and selling drugs. Not because he wanted to, but because that was all he knew. He watched his grandfather murder people. I mean, that, you know, it's just what he was watching when he was a young boy in that neighborhood. So he, you know, he grew up in the gangs there in Detroit, and then later on was involved with, you know, in the 80s, the crack and the heroin and all the, you know, he became a drug kingpin, a boss of his own crew. And, you know, he grew up with Maserati Rick and Demetrius and White Boy Rick and all those characters from Detroit. So, you know, he was a part of that era, and he watched all his friends, most of his friends, either get killed or go to prison for life. And so he's been there, he's done that, and he actually had to move out of the city to get away from it and change his life. And he made that commitment, and he did it, and it was hard, and it's still hard because, you know, some people look at him still as, you know, little Rob from, you know, the east side of Detroit. Some people haven't seen him in 20 years. They don't know what to think when they see him. You know, and now he's written this book about his life and trying. We're out here, you know, talking in schools and out trying to educate all the kids, you know, anywhere we can about the dangers of gangs, violence, and drugs. And you know, like you were just saying, it's hard out there, and there's so many people that are just as frustrated as you. And you know what? When you can go out and flip some drugs and make a few thousand dollars in a you know 5 minutes, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the allure of fast money.
It is fast money. It's easy, you know, it's easy money. But, you know, you have to live with the consequences of, you know, whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
well,
I understand why a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it because they have to. They need to put food on the table. Some people don't. I mean, you know, it's hard to say. But I definitely understand that your nephew that was just talking, right?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely understand the frustration. And, you know, if we can help at all, we have a lot of resources on our website for ex-felons. We have a lot of resources for drugs and alcohol and gangs and rape and abuse. I mean, we have just all kinds of resources on there, and if anybody has any other resources that they can, you know, get to us, get them to us, and we'll put them on there. But that's what the Streets Don't Love You Back movement is all about. We're just out here trying to educate people, trying to help people, trying to work with people to make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
we appreciate all of you and your stories, because we are together reaching out to other people, and hopefully by telling these stories, we can touch somebody.
We all have different beginnings here. You know, everyone's story is different, but we all want the same end result. You know,
yes,
we all
indeed.
Want to keep these kids, you know, out of prison and hopefully not to become a statistic of premature death and violent tragedies that have occurred to young people. I just, right before I came on the air, I was chatting with a lady who was telling me about the senseless death of her son, you know, and that's what I hear all through the night. You know, that's kind of the thing that I don't talk about, but I don't sleep very much, but I'm up in the middle of the night. And like I said, you know, definitely trying to talk with at-risk youth and this kind of thing is definitely a priority with me. But my number one top priority is always seeing after grieving mothers and fathers and families and trying to help them to cope and to give them provide what they need to. So that is definitely, and that's why I wrote the book, so that they would have something, one of the reasons why, something more tangible in their hands that they can have. Because that's the one thing that we look for, parents of murdered children, is that we're always looking for some place or someone or somewhere where we can relate, because we are a unique society of people. And that we don't find, it's very rare that we find someone in our family who is just like us.
Right.
So in most circles, I always feel different. You know, even when I'm among my family, I always feel that I am just this different person now because of the circumstances surrounding my son and the murder that makes me different. So, but yes, but it certainly takes all of us, and what I know is this to be true is that I guess everyone sometimes, we're not going to get everybody. We know this. And sometimes people hear in a different way. So there may be someone that you can get, and maybe they hear the same information over and over, but maybe at one point they'll listen to one of us.
Right.
And we'll save them, you know. But what's kind of scary to me is that some of these kids are so far gone, and they are definitely entrenched into that lifestyle and that culture, and they think that gang banging and this kind of thing is the only lifestyle, and that's all that they want to do, and they have no aspirations to do anything more. And some of them haven't seen outside of Detroit city limits, which is so incredibly sad to me.
Right.
You know, I'm happy for Courtney that I did show him some of the world, and that he did have vacations, and that he did have birthday parties and this kind of thing. You know, and that just kind of goes back to parenting. I think that there are several messages in my book that can be extracted. There's messages of spirituality. There's messages on good and bad decisions and consequences of good and bad decisions. There's certainly messages for grieving families to find hope,
right?
You know, and encouragement. And it's sometimes a tough read for people. I know that it is emotional. Some people in my family have not read the book yet. It's very emotional, and it's very raw. And I do have a warning page, because there is some very strong language, but that's just what it is. I make no apologies about it. It's just that, just to prepare people for, you know, because I know some people in my church purchased the book.
Mm-hmm.
So just so that they would be aware that, you know, hey, here's some strong language, and, you know, going to be, you know, here and there. But those are just all of my emotions, and I didn't change anything about my journal entries. I left them as they were, as not to affect the integrity of the entire project. I felt like I had to leave it intact as it was.
Right.
So whatever it said is just, you know,
that's how
it's what I translate.
That. It came from your heart, from your emotions, and from your soul, you know, and it's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like I said, I still journal to this day.
It's an awesome read because it is so real and it's, you know, the truth. Now, we do have several more callers, so let me try to go to the next caller, the last four numbers, 3414, if you're there.
Hello?
Now.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello,
you're
can
on
you
here.
Can you hear
yes
me? How you doing?
Yes, we can. Great, how
up
are you?
All right, this Karen's cousin, Eric, calling from New York.
All right.
Oh, hey, Eric.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yes
we can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Oh, because my phone keeps breaking up. I'm sorry. I just wanted to call in and, give my cousin some inspiration and let her know, you know, that even though Courtney's gone, he's not forgotten. You know, I remember when he was a little fella just running around. And, you know, a lot of my guys out here in these streets because they have nothing else to turn to, you know. But we gotta find a way to make a way for, you know, our kids to come out of those streets and do something positive with their life, you know. I grew up in the streets of Detroit. I live in Buffalo, New York now. And I went that way for a little while, but then I turned and went into the military. And, I don't recommend military now for anybody unless that's your last choice. I recommend school and, you know, education and just getting out there and working. And what I remember, because I was gone a lot, what I remember about Courtney was that he was always, you know, there for his family. You know, he was quiet, just like Karen said, and he didn't say much, but, you know, he was a man that didn't have to speak. That didn't
right
have to speak. You knew how he felt.
Yes.
And
he was a no-nonsense kind of guy. Just wasn't just for that little silly, petty stuff. He just couldn't deal with that. Even just in regular, just that's just how he was. He just couldn't, he just
exactly
wasn't going to make time for that in his life. He just wasn't. If you were not talking about money, he did not want to hear it for the most part. I'm just mean, you know, with outsiders. He just
right.
You know, and again, I'm not glorifying anything. I'm just speaking of his mindset from what I know and what, you know, but you know what? He was still affectionate. He was still an
right
affectionate person. Every time he see me, he greet me with a hug and a kiss. That's just how he was.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he loved his mom, his sister. Like I said, I remember when he was a little fella, because I stayed in Atlanta and I stayed in California. I've been all over the place. So, you know, I didn't see him. I seen him when he was little, and then next time I seen him, he was a grown man. And, you know, I just remember some days when I would see him when he was little, he'd be outside singing and everything. You know, he was a funny little guy. And then when I seen him when he got older, you know, you could tell that he had grew up into a man. And, he was about his business, you know.
Right.
He was about his business. He loved his family and everything. And I want to say to my cousin Karen, you know, you're an inspiration. I'm out here doing my comedy out here in Buffalo. And
yes.
I got the book. You know, my sister and them, they bought 3 or 4 copies.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just want to tell you, you keep doing what you're doing. You know, I'm out here telling, we just had a shooting. 8 people got shot here in Buffalo. 4 people
what?
Died. I know it's been all over
wow
the news and everything. And one of the ladies that I go to school with, she lost 2 sons to gang violence.
Wow.
And, you know, I told her about the book and everything, and she told me she was going to try and order it. And she's doing some things here in Buffalo. Her name is Pam. I can't remember her last name.
You know,
okay,
if you can get her to our website and have her email us, we can have her as guest on our show, too, if she would like to be.
I sure will. I'm going to talk to her tomorrow.
Okay. We are going to go ahead and go on. We still have several more callers on the line. We're going to go ahead and leave you on the line if you'd just like to hang out and maybe talk. You probably have some more relatives waiting to speak up. So
oh,
we're
yeah
going to go to 4307.
You're on the air. 4307. Last
Hello?
Four digits of your phone number. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello? Hi.
Hi.
Karen, you have...
It's still Karen. Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, hi. This is Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Oh, okay. So it is me. I am talking. I just wanted to say that I've been following you since the beginning, since I heard about you writing your story, and I just really wanted to say how proud I am of you and that you are an inspiration. I've been listening to the stories here, and my heart just goes out to all of the young men out there. I have a son myself, and I worry about him on a daily basis, and I know that these young men think that the streets are their alternative to
mm-hmm.
finding a job, and that they think that the streets are their, some of them think that that's what their father is, that's who their father is, but they just have to know that there's a man out there that I know who will give them guidance and
yes.
lead them in the right direction, and we all know who that is.
Yes, we do, praise God.
You know, and I just
yes,
really
yes.
just wanted to say I support you 110%. And I appreciate what you're doing and continue to do so.
Thank you,
God
Tina.
God bless you.
Thank you,
keep you okay?
Thank you,
so much,
thank
Tina.
You, Tina. Thank you.
All righty.
Thanks,
thank
Tina.
You. You know, we are going to go to the caller with the last four digits of your phone number, 3376. If you're there, you're on the air. If you have a question or comment for Karen.
Hey, Karen. This is Sharon. Your sister
Sharon
on Facebook. Hey, girl. Listen,
hey.
Oh, my heart is so full right now. But I just want to say I'm so proud of you. Continue the journey. Not in vain, not in vain.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to all the listeners out there, especially for those fathers that so-called supposed to be fathers, step up. Step up and do what you're supposed to do. These kids didn't ask to be here, and they need positive role models. You know, if they can't
mm-hmm.
turn to anybody else, who, you know, their father or their mother, who can they turn to?
That's right.
You know,
amen.
And it takes a village to raise children. You know, we all have to get in there and
do our part.
You know, do our part, right. Do
mm-hmm.
our part. Karen knows my struggle with the loss of my daughter in 99, and I'm right there with her in her pain
yeah.
and her grief, you know, and we have to continually to reach out and try to help others. You know, some of us
yes.
are stronger than others.
Yes.
I never struggled with taking my life over the death of my daughter, but of course I was angry, you know. And we got people out there that is angry at God for the loss of their child. You know, I just
yes.
want to say that God is there for them. You know, he don't make no mistakes. We may not understand it, you know,
that's
but
right.
he does not make any mistakes, you know.
At
and
all.
Karen, continue the fight. No, not at all. Continue the fight. I'm there with you. I'm supporting you, and I love you.
Thank you,
Amen.
Sharon. I love
and,
you. Thank you.
And you know what, Miss Sharon?
Yes.
We just want to say that was heartfelt about the loss of your child as well. And tonight, we're going to do something on the show tonight while we're all here together. We're just going to take a minute to go in prayer with all the loved ones that have been lost here on the show tonight. So we're going to just close our eyes, and I'm going to say a prayer for everyone
okay.
who's lost a loved one. So we're going to do that right now on the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming to you right now with open arms, Father. We're coming to you, Father, humbly as always, and we're asking you, Father, to bless our life, Father. We're asking you to put your angels and protection around us as we sleep, as we wake, as we walk, as we talk. Father, we ask you to just let your will be done in our life, Father. We ask you to bring comfort to us, Father, and we ask you to bring people in our lives, Father,
to comfort us to go to the next level and do the right thing with the loss of our child, the loss of our loved ones, Father. And we just ask you to cover us with the blood tonight. In your son Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Not a problem,
sister. Okay, Karen, well, I will talk to you.
Okay. I hope you continue listening if you can.
I
know
sure
it's
will.
Late for everyone.
Yeah, no, I'm going to listen. I've been listening since the very beginning, so I'm till here to the end.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, thank you.
The last four numbers is 8963. Caller with the number of 8963, you're on the air if you have a question or comment for Karen.
You there, caller? 8963? They might just want to listen in.
Okay.
We'll go to 5372.
Hello?
Okay, hello.
Yes, are you there?
Yes.
How everybody's doing? This is Daryl, Karen's son-in-law.
Hey, Daryl.
Oh, how you doing, my brother?
Mama Karen.
That's my
how
new son.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Like, is this 5372, last four digits?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay,
just,
my man. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I was just calling in tell my mother that I love her, and I haven't read the book yet. It's a little too deep for me right now, but, you know, I would just like to say congratulations on it. I was there through most of it, you know, through the complaining and the frustration from computer files almost getting deleted and all that stuff, so, you know. I wasn't there writing the book, whatever, but, you know, I definitely heard phone calls that, you know, her calling of her frustrations to my wife and everything, but I'm very proud of her, you know. I never met
Thank
Courtney,
you.
Unfortunately, but, you know, I made sure on my vows, you know, I put him in there because I knew how deep and how close he was to my wife and to my mother-in-law and that's one thing I would like to say. I have lost a couple people in my lifetime, and I just always tell Jasmine that I never, ever met people such as Mama Duffy and her family and all of the Duffys that carry on the person that long. And I have lost friends where, you know, maybe the first year or the second year, it might be a picnic for him on his birthday or his death anniversary, but it just go on and on and on. I really commend them on that. Like, that's very, very good that it stays and stays. We went out to Vegas, and, you know, we on his birthday, everybody went out, and it was just, I just want to say that's a good thing, you know. Just keep it going. I'm part of the family. That's my mom, so, you know, I'll definitely be around forever. You know, she might have lost one, but she gained one, you know.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Thank you.
All right, Daryl.
All right,
thank
Mama
you, Daryl.
We sitting up listening, so you know.
Okay.
Stay around and listen.
Well, you get congrats.
You know,
you get congrats, Daryl, to your missus as well.
Okay, sure will.
Okay, and we are gonna go.
So we're 2277.
2277, last four digits of your phone number. You're on the air.
This is Karen's daughter. I was just trying to listen, though.
Okay.
Yeah, hey,
congratulations,
Mom. Yeah. Young
lady.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really didn't want to say anything. This whole thing just has me incredibly emotional, so I didn't really want to.
Okay.
I'm just listening.
All right,
okay,
Jazz,
thank you.
Fine. We're going to let you continue. We do have a few more callers, but we just want to wish you congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you. I just want to say you guys are doing something really awesome. This is really great. And, Mom, you're doing a great job, and I'm very, very proud of you, and I love you.
Thank you, Jazz.
Thank you
love
much,
you. That's like my number one supporter right there.
Oh,
Ain't no mystery,
right.
You know.
I had to run it by James
like
first.
Y'all gotta
tell
you
know.
a lot of supporters.
Yes,
okay, we're gonna put you back on hold, and
okay.
Yes, and thank you for saying hi to us, and then we're gonna answer a few more calls here.
Okay.
Like 3987.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, young
yes.
lady on the air.
Hi.
How you doing, ma'am?
I'm okay. I just wanted to say I'm, like, really kind of, I told my sister I was sitting here and I was instant messaging her, and I'm like, I'm over here in
Angie.
Tears.
It's
my sister Angie.
You here.
Okay.
We definitely appreciate you here, and we definitely appreciate your 1,000% support, you know what I mean, with Miss Karen as well, you know?
Oh, yeah,
thank
I have
you.
To. I've been there since Courtney was carried. I'm younger than Karen, so in the middle of the night when Courtney would wake up, it would be Angie, Courtney's up. So.
Right, no doubt.
You know.
No doubt.
And, you know, I have two sons, and my oldest son just turned 23, and just before his 23rd birthday,
God.
I got scared. So.
Praise God. You know, God is great, you know?
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah, Angie definitely was there. The house that Courtney drove away from, my mom's house, you know, that's the same house. I had Courtney, I was 17 years old, and that is the same house that I brought him, his first home, you know, and I brought him home
right.
at a precious,
right.
at a very precious 3 days old, you know, that's
right.
the home he came to. So he hung around there a lot, you know, that's certainly at my mom's house, was certainly his home away from
yes.
his own home, you know. So,
yes,
yeah, lots of memories. Sometimes it's kind of hard to be in there in my mom's house, look at his old bedroom or something like that, and there's little tributes
right.
to Courtney all over my mom's house, much like my house.
That's
you know?
A beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah,
really
like sort of like what Daryl was saying. You know, yeah, sort of like what, just to kind of piggyback a little bit on what Daryl, my son-in-law, was saying, is that
yeah.
Just all the things that we still keep Courtney a part of, and I think that that's important. I try to preach that to Jasmine and to John John, is that we don't have to forget Courtney, and there's so many different ways that you guys can honor him, you know.
Yes.
There's many things you can do throughout your life, and that's the same message that I also try to tell other parents of murdered children, is that because sometimes I think that maybe we've been taught that when someone dies, then we got to put everything away about them as if they never lived before, and I just don't find that that's healthy for me.
Exactly.
You know, I just don't.
That's not healthy for you.
No, I mean, right now I have a beautiful space here in my home for Courtney. This is his area. I had him cremated. His urn is here. I'm burning a candle tonight. He has a beautiful
Amen.
Area that is all modern and decorated with his pictures and everything in there, and I just wouldn't have it any other way. I think that it's hurtful
Amen.
To put their things away. So I think that when you're going through the grief process, certainly do whatever feels best to you as long as you're not hurting someone else or hurting yourself. Unlike myself, I did a lot of things to slow up my progress and to hurt myself, but that was a lot out of fear. And that's why I'm happy
yes.
that, you know, the Lord pulled me, saved me from the storm so that I can help the next person that's not as far along in the grief process as I am.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
And we definitely thank the Father for always being a merciful Father and definitely
yes.
a forgiving Father and a
yes.
Father with many grace.
Yes, yes.
We
yes, want
to thank you, sister, for calling, and we're going to go to the next
yes,
caller,
you,
which is 5782, I believe.
Okay, here we go. How are you? You're on the air. Hello?
All right, 5782, you're on the air. How you doing, young
Hello?
Lady? Yes, ma'am, you're on the air.
This is Brianna. This is Tracy Mac. I mean, Tracy Cole's daughter. Daquanda Cole's niece.
Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hi. I met you before. My boyfriend is one of the guys that testified. I'm not going to say his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I met
yes.
you before, and I'm so sorry about what happened. You know, we went through the same thing with my family.
Yes. Yes, Courtney and Twan were friends.
Yes, we're friends.
Yeah.
I met before. He was so nice, very soft spoken, and me and him were friends. I was really hurt about what happened.
And
we support everything that's going on, and I want a copy of your book.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise God for that.
Yes.
You know?
Thank you so much, my sister. Yes, that's easy. You know, we can hook up at any time. You're here locally with me, so that is real easy. And is Quanda listening in tonight? Because I texted her a little while ago.
Oh, she is. My mom told me that you were on the radio. I even called.
Okay.
I want a copy of your book. I want to read it because, you know, Courtney was my friend too. I knew him personally.
Yeah.
I was hurt
about what happened. Thank you so much. That's always heartwarming to me still hear. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Brianna. Did I ever tell you that? My name is Brianna. I'm Tracy.
Brianna, yes, yes, you did tell me that in the beginning.
And I wish that they both were here because Courtney knew me when I was 16, 17 when I was around him. He gave me a ride home one day. I was walking. I was so mad.
He was always driving.
He was always helpful. He did not hesitate to, you need a ride? Yes, I do. It's cold out here. I was on my way home.
Praise the Lord. Right. Praise the Lord. That young man, he had a good heart. Thank you.
Yes. We appreciate you calling in, young lady. And you know how to get with Miss Karen to get your autographed copy. You know what I mean?
Mama, we on here right now.
Yeah. Okay. Ain't no doubt.
Right.
Thank you, Brianna. We're going to go to the next caller.
Oh, yeah. 8997. Last four digits.
Hello?
8997. Last four digits. How you doing?
Hello?
Tonight? How you doing?
I'm doing well. This is Lisa.
Oh,
this
is Karen.
Hey, Lisa.
Oh.
Hey, Karen. I just want to say, I want to tell you guys something about Karen. This woman is superwoman.
Amen.
She is so vigilant, not only in keeping her son's memory alive, and I'm like kind of shaking right now, but also every time she hears something that has happened to another young black man in the city of Detroit, she is always extending her heart, her time, herself. And I don't know if I could do it. And I just want to tell you, my sister friend, you know I love you. I am so very, very, very proud of you.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm so glad to have had you come into my life. I met you maybe just a couple of months after Courtney was taken away way too early. I told you Sunday, everything happens for a reason. And God, everybody in your life for a reason. And I think that you and I are truly connected for the long haul. And I love you. And
thank you. I believe that.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
All right, honey. You're doing a good job. Bye-bye.
Thank you, young lady, for calling in.
Bye, Lisa.
All right. Bye-bye.
Right. So
we have one more caller on the line, and that's the last four digits, 8963.
Hello?
On the air. Hello.
Hi, my name is Alicia Davis. Hi, Miss Karen. How you doing?
Hey, hi, Alicia.
I just was calling. I was listening to me, and I just wanted to tell you also that I'm very proud of you, and you are, like, a great inspiration through this whole process. I'd be, like, listening and watching, and I bought my book, too. It's really hard for me to read it, so
yeah.
I haven't read it. I've had it since it first came out, but I can't read past the next first couple pages. So, but I do have it, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm proud of you. And I had a whole mouthful to say, but it's kind of like I'm like jumbled. Don't know what to say really.
Yeah, I should point out that Alicia was Courtney's first real girlfriend.
Amen.
Oh, yes, like real little high school sweethearts.
Wow.
Yes, Georgia was my first love. So,
yeah.
Like I heard somebody saying earlier about how he was non-confrontational, and I was just listening and laughing like, that's so true. I tried to start an argument with him, and he just like, okay, whatever, and wouldn't even argue with me back. So
he wasn't going to do it.
Not at all. But also, I was listening, someone was talking about how fathers need to step up and stuff, and I was thinking, like, I agree. I think that the parents, mother and father, need to try to learn how to work together, even when they can't get along for themselves,
mm-hmm.
at least for their child, try to get along so that they can bring these kids up to be a little bit more better, because the kids nowadays, like the 14 and 15-year-olds is coming up, they just don't care anymore. They just out here running loose and running wild. And my son will be 2 in November, and I worry about him, like, if I think, like, down the road when he gets older, like, what am I going to do when he has to come up, and how is it going to be? Is it going to get any worse there? But I think that if everyone, I mean, like, the parents and even the neighbors and stuff just come together and help, like, be more inspiring and, like, have more programs and stuff for the kids, that everything will be a little bit better. So, once
Amen.
Again, I just wanted to let you know that I was listening to you, and that, like I said, I'm very proud of you, and you are very inspiring through everything you're doing. And eventually, I'll sit down and try to get through my book, but for right now, I just got it on my little dresser to sit there.
So,
amen. All right, that's all. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too,
thank
young
you.
Lady. Thanks for calling in. Did we get 5372?
Yes, I think that was the son-in-law.
Okay, then. So now we're gonna just go to a commercial break, and we want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and we want to thank everybody from supporting Miss Karen. And we're gonna go to a commercial, and we're gonna go to a song, and we're gonna be right back with Miss Karen, one of the dynamite interviews on the show tonight. And we want everybody to learn from her experience, and we want everybody to take in, each one teach one, because you don't have to be alone. God is good.
So please stay with us through the song, and then we're going to have some last comments, and we will be right back.
The one thing I regret the most is beating my mom up in front of my brother, because just to see the sadness in his eyes. He used to say things to me, he's like, I look up to you, and then him seeing me beat my mom up just, like, really hurt me, because it's like, he looked up to me, and look at what I did in front of him. What kind of a mom would do that in front of their brother? That's the one thing I regret the most, is beating my mom up. My name is Bernadette. I am 15 years old. It makes me feel bad, because I treated my family like dirt. I didn't care about them. Nobody else mattered. And I used to get violent when I was on meth, especially when I was coming down. I would hurt my family. I'd steal from them. I'd lie to them. I think they're out to get me, or they're out to get my drugs. All that mattered was me and my drugs in any way I could get it.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
And you're counting it.
give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword, I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray, give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name, yeah. And slaughter the wicked quickly with no thought or shame, Lord. For my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace, Lord. I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face, boy. I never can give enough praise to your tenderness, Lord. My happiness, yeah. No matter the time or the place, you're a pivotal, Lord. You show me the light and the dark, so I carry it. Guide and protect us, Lord. Please give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword, I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray, give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tried the long rocky road. The buffalo soldier fights the power, freedom, war. The last we left on the throne, the conquering disciples from your congregation. Yeah. Collect your security, we build a better nation. Time to strive for unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things, we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always strive to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword, I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray, give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here to the Streets on Lovely Back Radio Show. Tonight with our guest, Ms. Karen, out of Detroit, Michigan. And we're going to let her say some last words, and we're going to turn the mic over to my missus, and she's going to ask us some more questions and some announcements from Ms. Karen, where to get the book and everything. You there, Ms. Karen?
Let's see. What was the last four of her numbers? Oh, yeah, I think. Are you there, Karen?
Yes, I am here. Listen, I'm
okay.
Here.
All right. So we want you to just tell the audience once again, Ms. Karen, where to go pick that book up at. And I also read about you involved with the meeting that you do every third week of the month, Mothers of Murdered Children.
Yes. Yes, that's
okay,
a national organization.
Like speak on
yes.
That as well. Yes,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yes, the title of my book is Life Interrupted, subtitle In the Aftermath of My Son's Murder. And again, I am the author, Karen Lynn Duffy. That is spelled D like in dog, U, F like in Frank, F again, I-E. The book is available on Amazon.com, as well as BarnesandNoble.com, and also with my publisher, who is Trafford Publishing. You can also go into the Barnes & Noble store and order the book there. Also, if you would like an autographed copy and either you do not know me personally or you live in another state, you certainly can contact me on Facebook just by my name, Karen Duffy, and I can invoice you through PayPal. And you do not have to be a PayPal member. I am. And I can send you an online invoice. You can pay it over the Internet, and I can certainly autograph the book and ship it off to you. So that is another option of getting an autographed book from me. As far as the national group that I belong to, which is Parents of Murdered Children, they just had their annual conference last week in Philadelphia, which I did not attend this year. Due to so many personal things going on in my life, I've just been really thrown off a lot just by just other things that have been overwhelming. I had a huge book signing here that was hosted by the Detroit Public Library, and it was a community forum and also a dinner, and that was an excellent evening of just a community gathering and just an outpour and a cleansing. It was a great evening. But Parents of Murdered Children, those meetings are every second Thursday of the month, and the meetings are held at St. David's Church on 12 Mile in Southfield, Michigan, and that is the only chapter that still exists in the state of Michigan. The next closest chapter is the Toledo, Ohio chapter, for some folks that may live further south of 75, perhaps, or closer to the Ohio border. Toledo may be a better option for them, and it is not hard to get that information, but that is Detroit, the Metro Detroit chapter, also on the Compassionate Friends. Parents of Murdered Children is just that, Parents of Murdered Children. The Compassionate Friends, they help families cope with the loss of a child for any reason, whether it be murder or to an illness or an accident. And the Compassionate Friends, I can't think of their meeting schedule offhand, but they do two. They do one in Metro Detroit right in the city. And I forget the name of the church right now, and I guess I should have had that written down. I apologize. I didn't even think ahead on that. And they do another meeting on Sunday afternoon in Ann Arbor. But, again,
okay,
if anyone needs to reach me,
send me a message on our website, and I'll get all those organizations put into our outreach center's resource.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, I will do that. Yep, there's no problem.
Yeah, and I also want to say tonight, too, that we thank everyone once again for tuning in to Ms. Karen's message tonight. And we hope everyone got some positive out the message that she has brought forth with losing a loved one, and not just a loved one, losing a child, you know. So we're definitely asking everyone to keep her constantly in your prayers and her family as well. And I just wanted to touch up on something tonight. Ms. Duffy was on last week with my other guest, Mr. Shaka. And is you there, Shaka?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to Mr. Shaka, we would also like for you, while we're on the air these few minutes, is to let people know where to also get your book at as well. And your book is called Crack. We would like for you to let people know where to purchase your book as well.
They can purchase Crack Volume 1 by Shaka on Amazon.com. They can also purchase it through my own company, Drop a Gem Publishing. That's DROPAGEM Publishing.com. They can also log on to my blog, Shaka Senghor. That's Shaka, ShakaSenghor. .blogspot.com. And while I'm sharing with people about my book, I would also just like to take this moment to really say that Karen, I know there's no words that can ever fill the void, you know what I'm saying, that's been placed in your life by the absence of your son. However, on behalf of all of the young men who grew up like I grew up, thinking that it was okay to carry guns, and thinking that it was okay to sell drugs, and thinking that it was okay to commit acts of violence that causes harm to your family, you know, I deeply and most sincerely apologize to you and your family who's all listening. And whatever I can do to lend my voice to your cause, know that you got it. Just give me a call anytime.
Thank you, Shaka. Appreciate that.
And sure. Shaka, aren't having a couple of book signings coming up in Detroit?
Yeah, I have a. Well, I'm done with the ones in Detroit for the moment, but I have one coming up in Flint at Page's Bookstore on August the 28th.
Okay, my man. And where can they get your book locally as well, Shaka?
At Harlem World inside Greenfield Plaza. Can You Picture This? Inside 7 Days West. Hood Books on DeQuinder. Spectacles Downtown. And Nandi's Knowledge Cafe in Highland Park. And they can also call me anytime. They can call me at 313-720-5546.
My man. And I also want to let the viewers know as well, my new book is out, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and it's about my life growing up right down the east side of Detroit, Michigan. And you can get my book at Barton & Noble's. You can get it at any Barton & Noble's worldwide. And you can also get it at my homeboy store as well at Harlem World Books and Videos right there where you get Shaka's book at on the first floor in Greenfield Plaza, Suite 107. And you can also get my soundtrack that go with the book as well, The Streets Don't Love You Back. And I just wanted to let the viewers know I was honored in my city of Detroit back in May at the Charles H. Wright Afro-American History Museum. I was honored there in May. My book is there in the museum on display in the rare book section as well. So I thank God for bringing me out the streets and for giving me the voice to give back to the city that I once helped destroy the communities as well. So now I'm one of the ones that helped rebuild these youth's mind out here that the streets definitely don't love them back. So just want to say to you, Ms. Karen, as well, you know, my hand and my wife's hand is extended to you in any kind of way that we can do anything to help you as well with your movement.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Lucinda and Rob. I do. And Shaka, thank you.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah, I'd just like to let you know, too, that the song that we just played, Guide and Protect, this is one of the songs that's on the Streets Don't Love You Back soundtrack. So if you like that song, order that soundtrack.
That's available on your, I think, did you guys have a merchandise link on your website? Did I notice that?
Yes, you can order it on our website through PayPal.
Okay.
And then if for some reason anybody just wants to send in a money order, the address is on the website as well, that they can do that.
You're right in the city, though, right, Ms. Karen?
Or they can get it right. Yes. You can get it at Harlem World also.
I'm in the suburbs, but still. Mm-hmm. Metro.
Yeah, over at Greenfield Plaza. Yeah, you can get it from Harlem World at Greenfield Plaza on the first floor. My book and the soundtrack, we just sent some more off, so it will be in there this Friday there, you know, at the Harlem World.
Can I say one more thing before we get started?
Sure. Karen, I was really listening to how you was going about publishing your book, and I really believe that with that project, you really need to have more ownership and more control of it. And I would love to show you how you can go about making that happen.
Okay, great. Well, then, Shaka, I'll give you. We'll talk tomorrow or something.
Yes, certainly.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Shaka, because me myself, you know, once again, as coming up in the streets of Detroit at a real young age, getting involved with the life at 10 years old, I was always taught, you know what I mean, it's all about owning whatever you touch. You know what I mean? And when it comes to my books, when it comes to anything dealing with my name, I own everything. You know what I mean? I'm my own publisher. When it comes to my books, it's Boyd Publishing. I've been having my own publishing company for 17 years now. You know what I mean? So it's about ownership within yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need no third party talking about nothing. The only person need to be sitting there is you and your lawyer. You know what I mean? That's all should be sitting there when it comes to any kind of business, because the third and fourth party brings a misunderstanding, because now you got to get him or her consent to make something happen. You know what I mean? So that was a good point, and we appreciate that.
Yes, and thank you so much for saying that. I do retain all complete ownership over my book and the rights and everything. I guess I just didn't want to get so detailed into the actual process. I don't like this particular service that they offer to me to have my book in Barnes and Noble or on the bookshelves and Borders and this kind of thing. It's just they charge this hefty service fee for it, and I just don't think it's fair, and I don't like
right,
it.
Yeah.
So I
right.
have just sort of, I've just not decided to go that route and invest in that type of package. I don't like it. I've definitely have paid a lot of money already to, have my book published with this company. And there certainly are some benefits to the route that I chose to take. But at the same time, they are holding me up from being able to, well, me not fully cooperating with this part of the business is, you know, is hindering me from having a book signing in Borders and inside of Barnes & Noble. I know that I can have a book signing at other bookstores. I just haven't done that. Like I said, this summer has been, my sister was married. She had a big ceremony in May. Jasmine turned around and was married. I had my big book event myself in June with some other speaking engagements. So I'm hoping that this time now that things are settling down more, I have a few things on the table that are coming up. I'm also going to
yeah.
be honored by the city of Detroit, and I'll be presented an award for the book. And I postponed
mm-hmm.
the date just because some other things have been going on, but hopefully we'll get that back on track. Between now and sometime in September, I'll be accepting that award. So looking forward to that presentation ceremony as well. Thank you very much.
And we definitely want you and Shaka to hook up, you know what I mean, because y'all both
Absolutely.
Have a lot to bring to each other, you know, and you're
Absolutely.
Both right there in the city. So it's always a blessing to hook up with individuals like mine, like Wise, you know, that's trying to get ahead and is trying to help other people get ahead as well. So that's what we really need more in our communities, you know. And I just want to speak on, we need more of these so-called preachers in these churches. You know, we need you out in the street, my brother. You feel me? We don't need you
okay.
just behind the pulpit. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
We need you in the hood. We need you in the street. We need you talking to these young youth. We need you talking to these adults out here. We don't need you standing behind the pulpit waiting for the collection plate. You feel me? We need you
mm-hmm.
in the street where God said, you know, He takes His message to the street, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Not behind the pulpit, you know?
That's
it's about
right.
saving people, it's about saving lives, and it's about showing people the right way. Because we can all pick up the Bible and preach a sermon on Sunday behind that pulpit and everybody go home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You that preacher, and if you that messenger, but God said that, you know what I mean, it's a lot of false prophets that's collecting the plate and passing the plate. Get out there and get involved in your community and get involved with what's going on in your community, because there's a lot of churches that don't even know what's really going on in their community. They just at church on Sundays. And all the other
mm-hmm.
days, they ain't even thinking about what's going on around the hood. You feel me? Because they're
right.
going in their Cadillac, going to the suburbs. So let's get that on the flow, and let's start getting back in these communities and doing like the old days, you know what I mean, where everybody in the neighborhood was reaching out to help each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Karen.
I just wanted to definitely make that point.
What was your cousin's name from Tucson? I believe he's still on the line.
Taylor.
Yeah.
He's from New York, sweetie.
Oh, Taylor. We have Taylor. Well, we have Taylor too. Taylor was here, and Taylor is not here in Detroit right now. Taylor is in out in Arizona still.
Hello.
Okay, and Taylor, you're still on the line, right?
Yes, hello.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, we hear you.
Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
I just, Taylor, I wanted to see if you had any last words for the listeners tonight.
Well, you know, for the young listeners that's listening out here, man, you know, like my man said, the streets don't love you. And, you know, I know that feel like that's our only alternative out here, you know, and I wish that, you know, not just our urban city, but I wish it would hit mainstream politics that, you know, we need to do something to better our communities, the black communities. You know, we gotta work hard, though. You know, it's hard out here for a lot of us, you know, and we got to try to make a better way for everybody to cope with each other. But, you know, I love my cousin to death. You know, he did everything he needed to do as a man and as a son. You know, and I can't ask for nothing more other than what his mom is doing now. And she, you know, if y'all want to hear from me, just read the book, man. You know, it's hard out here, man. I love the shit out of my cousin, man. You know,
my man.
And Scone, I love you, to death. And John, and Jazz, everybody. You know, I love y'all to death, man. And like, you know, from a young person's perspective who's tried to do everything by the book, you know, and I'm struggling, like, left and right, you know, but I'm still trying to be positive and keep my mind on, you know, my goals and what I'm trying to reach. But at the same time, I understand that it's hard out here, man. You know, and a lot of these kids that people think, oh, they just want to be gangbangers, they want to be lazy. No, they want to provide a way for themselves, you know. And it's hard out here to do it the right way and to do it the wrong way. You know, it's hard both ways. But, you know, you got to stay focused and keep guiding your life, man. Keep devoting yourself to do better and more, you know.
My man.
Right.
We definitely appreciate that uplifting. And for everybody that's on the air tonight with Miss Karen's story, we asking for everybody that's on the air tonight to log on to our website after you get offline tonight at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. And we asking you to go join our movement site, and we asking you to keep involved with what we're doing at our movement site. And we have a lot of resources on there for ex-felons and for people, period. So we asking you to just keep following, and let's each one teach one, and let's stay involved with what's happening in our communities across the country, because it's not just a hood thing no more. This is a global thing, and we must stick together, and we must continually get the message out there, whatever city you stay in, whatever community you stay in, you know what I mean? Don't just run to the suburbs, because you know it all starts from the suburbs down to the hood and up from the hood to the suburbs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a global thing, and remember that.
That's right.
And if I could say one more thing, if y'all don't mind.
Go ahead, my brother.
And it's a war going on, man. You know, not just in Iraq, not just in Afghanistan, but it's going on in the United States and your urban streets, man. You know, and we got to do a lot more. You know, I know we're saying that we're doing what we can, and I'm proud of all the organizations that's trying to step up and play their role in society. But, you know, it's gun violence. Just look at the stats, man. You know, we lose soldiers. You know, a year, it's probably about 2,000, 3,000 soldiers in a year since we've been in Iraq. But every year, it's a high death rate, man. I don't know the percentage. I don't know the numbers correctly. But we got the most gun violence in America. We got the most correctional facilities in the world. You know, it's tough out here. It's tough out here. And if we don't wake up as people and just realize that, you know, then we and just, you know, try to deal with it and acknowledge that what's really going on is wrong, then we can't never go nowhere. It's going to be the same circle of life, you know. It's going to be the same thing for next generations to come. So, you know, if we don't do nothing to try to improve it from now on, it's going to always be these type of conversations and these talk shows, you know, and there's nothing to glorify. My cousin, you know, and I love him to death, you know, but, you know, it's hard out here, man. You know, and he did everything he possibly could do. And he was a righteous person, man. He wasn't one of them type of people who was on that tip, you know. He just wanted to make sure he could be able to provide for himself and his family, man. And that's what a lot of these youth is out here trying to do, you know. It might seem like they just there to get the rounds and the jury. You know, some of these people need to put food on the table, feed their family, you know, make sure they got a roof over their head. And, you know, some of their jobs is hustling, you know. And we got to acknowledge that, you know. I don't know what else more I could say, man. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we gotta wake up and realize there's a war going on right here in our own backyard, man, in front of our face, in our major cities. I was in D.C. I still go to school in D.C., but, you know, I was in D.C., and it's going on in the nation's capital. It ain't stopping,
my man.
You know, and that's not just there. It's in Texas. It's in Arizona. It's in Detroit. It's in Cali. It's everywhere you could name. If we don't start waking up as people, man, and just trying to do something a lot better, you know, other than talking to politics and just smiling and telling us what we want to hear, I call that sheep and wolf clothing. We can't pretend no more. We got to start really taking action, man. And I'm glad that my auntie is out here promoting the best way that she possibly can, and y'all giving her the support that she needs, you know, and hopefully it'll get better, man. And I know, Storm, you're going to do the greatest you can, and I hope you get on Oprah next, you know.
Hey, we appreciate
Thank
it, young
Taylor.
Brother, you know what I mean? And we just want to say, you know, what you just spoke on, brother, that is what I tell these young kids when I do my speaking engagements, you know. It's a war going on right here in America, which our own government is overlooking, you know what I mean? If the government truly wanted to stop this gang banging, if they truly wanted to stop this hunger in our neighborhood,
it's making them too much money. They got the graves.
All of that.
They got
all
the millions, everything it takes. They want it's propaganda to its fullest, man, you know. and we got to really wake up, man. I mean, everybody got to wake up, not just the black community, the white community,
everybody
the Hispanic community.
Pay attention to who they're putting in Congress because, you know, the government are the ones that made the war on drugs, and that's when everybody started going to prison and everybody started, you know, getting in trouble.
For nonviolent offenses,
not,
you know, for nonviolent offenses, these people are trying to provide.
Well, 80% of the people in the federal penitentiary right now are there because of drug offenses, and it's not most of them. They're all nonviolent. Most of them are nonviolent, but a lot of them are for just using. A lot of it's for just marijuana, not even selling, but just a drug offense.
And you're doing 20 years. You're doing 20 years for one mistake like that. But you go out and kill a man, and you home in 10 years.
Man. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
You get more time for selling dope than murder. That is crazy. You know,
that's
really
and that's
crazy.
The way our society is. You know what I mean? They'll make a deal with you at the table just to win the case. You know what I mean?
Yes, they will.
They don't want to get a man, you know what I mean, that's selling drugs. Only thing a man that sells drugs want to do is eat. Only thing you have to do is give him a job, give him a skill, send him to school, and give him a job to provide for his family. Instead, they want to put that man in prison for the rest of his life, which that man can be rehabilitated, you know? But you want to take a man who raped our kids and dog our women, you want to get him, because he say, I'm sick, and I'm, you know, you want to send him straight to a spot where, you know, he tripping again in 8 months, you know what I mean? So it's
and
the
that's
game
why a lot of our fathers
a long
are missing.
Ago. Yeah, so the game been twisted a long time ago.
Yeah,
right, because the government
right.
won't miss it. Yeah, so we done had a great show. We done had a great show tonight, you know what I mean? And Miss Karen, do you have any last words, young lady? Because we have had a great bomb show tonight, and we definitely glad
we
you were able
left.
To attend. Yes, and it's all yours, Miss Karen.
Yeah, no, not really. I think I'm just a little bit caught up in the moment myself, but I just definitely want to thank everyone for calling in and listening tonight. And thank you guys so much for asking me to be on the show. I joined your movement back in May. I wasn't really sure how I was connected to it, but that really doesn't matter. I'm glad that I did, and I am glad to be
ma'am.
A part of your show tonight and to look forward to working with you guys in the future and seeing what we can do about saving some lives and this kind of thing. And
yes.
Thank you. I just like to say thank you so much again, and I appreciate everyone calling in and logging in onto their computer and listening to the show tonight and definitely supporting me. And I still appreciate all the love that still comes through for Courtney. That is so heartwarming to me and still in some way is very amazing to me. So I totally appreciate that. It makes me feel good as his mom because I know that he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Amen.
He didn't make all the right decisions like a lot of people. We all of us make mistakes in this kind of thing, and he certainly was not above reproach, but he was a good guy. So,
yes.
Thank you.
We definitely
and I think
want
that
to say
is
we...
it.
Go ahead, Ms. Karen.
Thank you for...
Oh, no, I forget exactly what I was going to say, but, you know, again, you can certainly reach me. If there are any new caller, new folks out there that do not know me, then certainly a good way to reach me is certainly on Facebook by my name, Karen Duffy.
Amen.
And we welcome any of you to call in. We have our radio shows every Wednesday night, and you guys are welcome to call anytime and listen and talk and share and give comments. And, you know, the more the merrier. We welcome everyone.
And we just also want to say once again, for all the people that's on the air tonight, we would like for you to go join our movement page tonight at www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. And also to our people in Arizona, we want to let you know that I will be speaking to Apollo High School right here in Phoenix, Arizona, on the 25th, which would be next Wednesday. I will be speaking to 5 classes there. And also I'll be having a book signing on August 28th at Bent Cover Books in Phoenix, Arizona. And September 18th, I'll be having another book signing at Bookman's Bookstore in Mesa, Arizona. So we want you to continue supporting Ms. Duffy, continue supporting the Streets Don't Love You Back,
and always support my man Shaka that was on here. And we want you to support all the youths across America that's trying to do right, and we're asking you to just make your voice available for them, you know, because that's what it's about, each one teach one. So that's my announcement
right.
for the night, and I'll pass it over to
you. And one more announcement as well is that if any of you who are on the show tonight know of anyone else that has a story that needs to be told, or, you know, somebody that wants to be a guest on our show, please get in touch with us and put those people in touch with us. We are always looking for guests, and we just appreciate all of you tonight, and wish you all a great week. And we have one more minute, and we are going to go out with a song, and we will join you back next Wednesday night, 11:30 Eastern Time and 8:30 Pacific Time. And until then, remember, the streets don't love you back. Good night.
Amen.
Tonight.
Yeah. LD.
You know, far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.